Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
r/ is a hilarious podcast where Dabney Bailey uses ridiculous voices and emotions to read aloud the week's craziest Reddit posts.
He reenacts various Reddit threads covering wild stories and secrets, petty revenge, relationships, and much more.
So if you're looking for a daily distraction and a laugh, check out r/ wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Join us on the Chinwag Podcast every Wednesday, where we trade the banal and the boring for the super strange and bizarre.
They committed human sacrifice?
I did bring up human sacrifice, yes.
You sure did.
That just went by fast. Gotta
casually toss that out.
I would like to have an alien hatch its young inside.
Holy shit, really?
She saw world peace, and I saw... demons coming out of the wall.
I will say that there was a green couch outside of the principal's office, and you sat on it if you had lice or if you got into trouble.
They wake you up from the goo pods to live in reality, and you're naked and screaming. It's like...
Follow us for free on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast platforms.
For more information, go to chinwagpod.fm.
And find enlightenment through our Instagram or TikTok at chinwagpod or on Twitter at chinwag_pod.
Your picks have been horrible, man.
It's the point. It's the point of the show. Isn't it? It's possible. I don't understand what this podcast is about.
Poppycock. The fuck house.
On a weekly basis, we are consuming more concentrated bad movies than probably anybody in the history of mankind.
Poppycock.
What story? What are you talking about?
Do you want lunch?
I have yet to laugh in this movie. I'll just tell you that.
You picked it, motherfucker. Just remember that.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit.
So I was legitimately offended.
You were offended?
I was offended.
I didn't know you could get offended.
I was offended.
This did it.
If I were gay, I wouldn't be offended.
They're fucking making shit up, I mean!
Inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail after inconsequential detail.
Please don't lie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm holding a mic in my hands and now I'm talking all over.
Welcome to Cinephobe, the podcast where we break down movies you're afraid to admit you love. I'm Zach Harford, that's Amin Al-Hassan, that's Anthony Mays. This week on Cinephobe, we watch the 2019 action thriller, Primal. I feel like you gotta get a little gruff in that voice when you say Primal.
You gotta sound like saying Zhang.
That was I actually laughed out loud when I read that text. What was that, yesterday? Mays made some comment about Uncle Frank. And you're like, who's Uncle Frank? Oh, Zhang. We're back in the cage, boys. We are back in the cage because Primal stars Nicolas Cage, who plays Frank Walsh. Man, he had a busy, busy year. So this is all that he did in 2019 outside of Primal. A Score to Settle, Color Out of Place, Running with the Devil, Kill Chain, and Grand Isle.
I've never heard of any of those movies.
Here's what's coming out for him in 2020. Wally's Wonderland, The Croods 2, 10-00, Jiu-Jitsu, Prisoners of Ghostland, and a movie called Pig, in which he's a truffle hunter who lives alone in the Oregonian wilderness, who must return to his past in Portland in search of his beloved foraging pig after she's kidnapped.
When did Mandy come out?
Mandy was 2018.
Oh my God.
What's Mandy?
Oh, Mandy's actually good. Mandy's like an art house. Wait, don't laugh at that, Maze. Mandy is an art house, like almost like David Lynch style movie. It's just a revenge movie for Nick Cage, and he goes fucking full Cage in this one. It's a slow ass movie for like the first 35 minutes where I was watching. I was like, oh my God, I'd heard this was good, but like, this is just kind of excruciating. It's really slow. It's too artsy. And then like the final like hour is just fucking insane.
I'll take your word for it.
No, you gotta watch it. Unfortunately, doesn't qualify. Doesn't even come close to qualifying. Mandy on Rotten Tomatoes, 90%.
Really? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, 66% with the audience. This also stars Famke Janssen. Remember her from Rounders? She was great.
Oh yeah, that's right. I knew she was
great in the X-Men movies.
Yes, she is. Yeah,
she's in The Faculty. Yeah, she's in GoldenEye. She's in the Taken franchise. We also get Kevin Durand, who was from Thunderstruck, Golden State Warriors,
Kevin Durant,
Oklahoma City Thunder, Brooklyn Nets, coming out in 2021.
The Victory Machine, star of the Victory Machine.
Right, star of the Victory Machine. Oh, wait, that's Kevin Durant.
Oh yeah,
Kevin Durand is a guy with big cheeks on his face. He's got big face cheeks.
I like this dude. He's in a lot of stuff. He is also in Ballers.
Yeah, he's in Ballers.
He plays the owner of the Rams.
I remember him from Lost back in the day. He played Martin Kimi.
He's in Walking Tall.
He was in a movie that we've done, right? Because I put The Return of Kevin Durant in my notes.
No, we haven't done a movie with Kevin Durant.
We haven't
done Wild Hogs yet. We haven't done Smokin' Aces. We haven't done Big Mama's House 2. X-Men Origins Wolverine.
So it is a future callback. Okay. It's a
future callback.
Before even watching the movie, just seeing, like, when I saw his name in the credits, I was like, oh, Kevin Durant, ha, ha, ha. And then I wrote, the fake Nick Cage.
Guys, I'm gonna jump in here. How is this possible? I'm looking at two identical Nick Cages.
Well, Seth, I can explain if you just calm down! Okay, as everyone knows, my dream as an actor is to appear in every film ever released. However, until now, I've only been able to muster a measly 90%, bringing shame upon my dojo.
Sure, of course.
But fortunately, today, science has prevailed, and I'm proud to announce that my cloning experiment has finally come to fruition.
I'm sorry, cloning experiment?
Well, that's exactly right, Seth. I am his clone.
Oh. Well, that does make sense, because you two are identical in every way.
Not in every way, Seth.
Well, while physically we are exactly the same, there are some slight differences personality-wise.
Yes, for example, this Nick is calm and stealthy, like a ninja warrior.
Whereas this Nick is an exaggerated, screaming psychopath who really just doesn't exist.
That's high praise.
Yes! It is a little bit like looking in a mirror.
This is before the movie starts, and I'm going to save it. I'm just going to say my initial reaction is like, oh, Kevin Durant, he's like a bootleg Nick Cage. Like a lot of his mannerisms and even his look, it's a very similar facial construction.
He needs a little bit more neck fat at this point, mm-hmm. just because Nick's lived a life. I didn't really put that together, but I can see the similarity now. We also have Michael Imperioli.
Christopher.
Christy.
From The Sopranos, from Goodfellas, from the 1800 tequila commercials, Bad Boys, Dead Presidents. He's in this movie. And then LaMonica Garrett, who is just an atrocious actor I know him from Sons of Anarchy.
Wait, that's the dude?
Yeah, LaMonica.
Bro, you might want to use a middle name. LaMonica?
LaMonica.
It's funny because I kept looking for a black woman in this movie. I mean, it's just a black woman's name, LaMonica Garrett, and she's an older black woman. She's not, like, a young woman. She's auntie status.
He was named after former Oakland Raiders quarterback Daryl LaMonica, of whom his parents were fans.
Jesus.
Hold
Don't
on.
Do that.
They didn't name him Daryl?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
One. Two. I've never heard of Daryl LaMonica. I better look up, and this dude was like the nicest like Hall of Famer ever. Because I got named after like a fairly mediocre player. That would be pretty bad. 5-time Pro Bowler. Okay. All right. 2-time All Pro.
Yeah, but Pro Bowler, does that really mean anything?
3-time AFL champ?
AFL. Get out of here. Pre-merger bullshit.
AFL MVP.
What does that even mean?
It's PFR Hall of Fame monitor 64 with the average being
what does that mean?
I don't know. They don't have they're not like NBA. Like, they're not like basketball references. They just say 99% or whatever.
This is more football talk than I thought we were going to have. Whoa. Okay. He was Slam Ball's leading scorer and one of four players announced to the all Slam Ball team. What?
Slam Ball, like the thing that was on Spike TV.
Yes, trampoline basketball. He's Slam Ball's leading scorer.
Oh, bro, you've done well for yourself.
Respect on this man's lady name. Primal, also directed by Nick Powell. Only the second thing he's directed. He directed a movie called Outcast, which stars Nick Cage and Hayden Christensen.
Jesus Christ.
Which Ooh. I think one of them is supposed to be the son of a deposed Chinese emperor. So put that on the list, Maze. Outcast.
He's also a former stuntman in the vein of the John Wick directors.
Why do you keep saying that? He's a stuntman. not a stuntman.
I like to fuck with you. It's from Tim and Eric. Have you ever heard of Tim and Eric?
Today on our show, we have two official Hollywood stuntmen. Mm-hmm.
My name is Randy Stuntman, and this is my brother Gene.
And you do stunt double work, too?
I don't like their humor at all.
Yeah.
Really?
At all.
I'm not surprised. It's
no, they keep getting shows, and I'm just like, it's just the same thing. He's going to be in drag, and this one's going to start drooling, and then they're going to be uncomfortable close-ups. There's going to be a laugh track where there wasn't anything funny because that's the joke. I'm good.
Fowl was a stuntman, as Mays mentioned. He's helped in fight scenes for Gladiator, The Mummy, and Braveheart. So, like, he's really choreographed some pretty big movies. Richard Leader wrote Primal. He's also written like 17 TV movies. That's it. This is the first theater movie he's ever this written.
Was this a theater movie?
It was in the theater. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah,
it qualifies for Academy Award nominations.
Yes. Synopsis for Primal is Frank's caught wildlife in the Brazilian jungle include a 400-pound white jaguar. He ships it on the same ship as an arrested assassin. The assassin breaks free and frees the animals. Tagline, the ultimate hunter versus the ultimate predator.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's not listed as that. There's no listed tagline, so I actually had to go look at the movie poster to find this.
Oh,
IMDb could really up their game a little bit. It'd be nice.
You're really getting resourceful in this quarantine, Zach.
I'm trying, man. Look, if it's a Nick Cage movie,
boots on the ground.
This movie had a $15 million budget. Amin, guess how much it made? And it was in the theater worldwide.
Well, I know it made at least $12 off of me and Maze today. $5.99 to rent, really?
And at some point, anywhere from $10 to $20 for me. I don't know how much I bought it for.
Money bags over here. How much did it make?
$84,000.
Oh, no.
Well, no wonder up to actually, I undersold it. $84,630. Not counting today's rentals. All right.
$642.
Let's jump into this movie before listening to the rest of this podcast and all the spoilers. Primal can be rented on Amazon's, iTunes, all that bullshit for apparently $6. The Rotten Tomatoes score. Primal receives a 38% from critics on 32 reviews.
That's surprisingly high.
And 27% from the audience on 48 reviews. Yes. No one's seen this movie. Do you want the positive or the negative?
Let's start with the positive, but let me lead off with my own positive, which is I know exactly who's winning Golden Dumpster in this. No shadow, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind. Like, as I'm watching, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the Golden Dumpster right there. So please give me the positives.
Niall Brown of Movies in Focus. Nicholas Uncage, that's what you call this man versus nature actioner. Nicholas Cage returns to his action roots with Primal, a high-octane action film which takes subtlety and tosses it overboard.
That's true.
Sol Harris of Starburst, I don't know if this means a candy. Is Primal good? Not exactly, but it is a film in which Nicholas Cage goes manhunting on a ship full of snakes and parrots and monkeys, and in a way, that's good enough.
Yeah.
Matt Donato of Flickering Myth. How have I not been transported back to the 90s where should be opening in wide release alongside every other audacious action hybrid imaginable?
Okay.
Rob Hunter of Film School Rejects. When Primal focuses on Nicolas Cage and his uncaged beast, it manages to deliver enough silly fun to stand apart from his other releases this year. His other releases.
Oh, wow. So okay. I don't like this review because now you're like, I'm asking you about this movie, not about every other movie he's made.
Right. Rex Reed of Observer, I'm embarrassed to admit, but I screamed out loud 5 times.
Wow. What?
I screamed out a couple of times. I'll be honest. At least 3.
You screamed out loud.
I did too, namely when I saw the price for the rental.
Dennis Harvey of Variety. It all moves along slickly and tolerably enough. Not really a positive review. Michelle Swope of Dread Central. Imagine a much more savage version of Noah's Ark with Nicolas Cage yelling some truly great lines about his cat while fighting bad guy Kevin Durand, and you have the new movie Primal.
Okay, she's exaggerating heavily there.
Noah's Ark.
And then Evans. Well, there's 2 of each, except for the jaguar.
It's like 6 monkeys.
Yes, and a couple of birds. And a javelina or some sort of
2 big snakes. There were 2 snakes.
There's 2 snakes. That's the only one that there's 2 of.
spoiler alert, after the end, there weren't many birds. Evan Dossie of Midwest Film Journal, pure cage exploitation and nothing more.
Yes.
All right. These are still positives, right? Yeah. Not many of those felt positive. All right. Some negative ones. Sarah Stewart of the New York Post. There is a limit to the redemption Nicolas Cage can grant a terrible movie, and Primal is it. So it sounds like he wasn't the problem.
Yeah, like this person's actually... Yeah, okay.
Vincent Mancini of Film Drunk. Nick Cage is trapped on a boat with a terrorist and an albino CGI jaguar. That is an amazing premise. If only we could see it. Bad camera work and choppy editing are ruining B-movies.
That jaguar was CGI?
Hope Madden of Columbus Underground. Primal contains an awful lot of stupid, but the sound is so muddy it's hard to catch much dialogue. At least we have that small mercy to be thankful for. Bitch.
That sounds like a positive.
That sounds like she watched like the pirated version from Asia.
Right. Brian Orndorff of Blu-ray.com. You may remember Brian Orndorff from like nine other places he's been reviewing movies. This guy gets work, man.
He's watching all cinephobe classics too.
As always, there's Cage, and he's in peak Cageosity here, trying to give the blandness that surrounds him some much-needed thespian spice. Noel Murphy of LA Times, unfortunately, even by the relaxed standards of trash cinema, Primal is dispiritingly tame.
Fuck you.
Rude. Yeah, it's just rude. David Ehrlich of IndieWire, a lifeless game of cat and mouse and jaguar. You're not clever.
This is why you're a critic, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, and then, you can't do those who can't critique and... That, sir, is what you are.
And then finally, Dominic Griffin of Spectrum Culture. At its best, Primal calls to mind Adam Sandler's Netflix originals, where it's clear the actor is just going on vacation to different locales and hoping the creatives around him can put together a movie from the exploits. That's rude.
That's not accurate at all. They spend the whole damn movie on a boat.
Yeah, on a right. boat, which is basically a stage, a soundstage.
All right, Amin? First note?
My first note, ladies and gentlemen, drum roll please, is...
Drum roll.
Rainforest Brazil is a hell of an opening line, probably written after an immense snort of cocaine. Because we have a scenic of like the jungle and it says Rainforest Brazil. Yeah. And I said, yes, definitely the dude who wrote that like just did a massive bump right there. And then we'll say Rainforest Brazil.
And Rainforest isn't capitalized, which I didn't like.
You could say in the Amazon or something like right. that. No one says like, oh, cornfield, Nebraska, right?
We've got a shot of a dead goat suspended in the air with flies all over it. Nick Cage is sitting in a tree platform reading a real estate catalog and eating nuts or something. He's smoking a cigar, looking at the goat corpse, and then the bushes are moving near it. And Amin, you know what we have next? Jaguar vision.
Jaguar.
Jaguar vision.
Are you doing that because of Rick and Morty? Maze? Yeah.
You can stay dead to the world and die in this room, or you can kill a pickle for me and earn your freedom.
There is no freedom while your leader breathes. Our country is a prison.
Then Katerina is a prisoner. Perhaps I could arrange her escape as well. She lives, Jaguar.
Where is this pickle?
Do people still read real estate magazines? Because he's like reading the hell out of it.
Yeah, he's not really like,
and not his. We're not talking about dentist's appointment, meaning the waiting room. Like you're just flipping through all these houses you'll never afford. Like he is studying the hell out of it. I thought like Zillow pretty much ended that.
Yeah, I thought so too. But it is Brazil.
Brazillo.
Do you think he's reading the catalog for Long Beach? I'm not acknowledging
that. I'm assuming because he knows he's going to capture this thing that's basically going to give him the payday of a lifetime. And so now he can afford one of these. I mean, have you ever seen a real estate magazine that had like affordable houses? No, it's always like the house that like Shaq bought to store his motorcycles. Right. Like that's the kind of real estate we're talking about here. Also, when we see the Jaguar come out, that CGI is just flawless. I mean, I was really worried for Nick Cage.
Of course.
Nick Cage, the actor, not his character, not Walsh.
Right, no, because they're clearly like no stuntmen there.
Fuck you.
Cage gets a Trent gun ready for the cat, but the platform breaks a little as it takes part of the goat's head off. It's a white jaguar eating the food, and Cage says, "Oh my gosh, gorgeous."
You ever talk to yourself out loud?
Yes.
You do? Yeah. Okay.
You don't?
Unless it's like to cuss out loud because of like traffic or something. But like just typically when I just realized I had like 700 other things to do today, I wasn't like, oh no. Like I didn't say it out loud. I thought it.
His guns are now on the ground. He's trying to figure out what to do. And then the jaguar briefly disappears and then jumps up at the platform trying to attack him. It falls, then jumps up again, and it swipes and claws Cage's leg.
Is this when you yelled?
No, I did not yell at this point. I'll let you know when I yelled. He then stabs the jaguar with a Trank dart, and they both fall into the trap below. Tranquilizer is slowing it down while Cage avoids it. The cat is finally down. Cage brushes back his sweaty hair. And I guess he carried 400 pounds of jaguar by himself.
Yeah, like they never really talked about that. Like he mentions it a little bit later. He says, oh, yeah, it's about 350, 400 pounds. And I'm like, but you were by yourself.
Right.
And I didn't see any help.
I didn't either. Now we're in a small village. The jaguar's in a cage. Not that cage. Just a regular cage, not a Nick cage. And Nick has the truck hooked up with a lot of cages. Presumably all animals are inside, but they're all covered. And he asks if someone died to a group of people around the truck.
Very savvy filmmaking. We just put some drapes over it. We don't have to waste money on CGI or animals.
Right, exactly. That's how you ball on a budget there. Vamanos, amigo. We've got a boat to catch. But the driver, Diego, refuses to go. Diego. Nick Cage is pissed.
They're in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Diego is a Brazilian name. Like, just going to throw that out there. It's not a Portuguese name.
Current is a mobile bank with a Visa debit card that gets you paid up to 2 days faster and gives you free overdraft up to $100 with no hidden fees. So if you normally get paid on a Friday, when you switch your direct deposit to Current, you'll get paid on Wednesday, 2 days faster. Current gives you free overdraft up to $100 with overdrive. So if you spend over your balance, you won't get declined or charged any fees. You can use over 55,000 free ATMs with Current and deposit checks with the camera on your phone. It has perks like instantly refunding the holds at gas stations put on your card. So you don't need to wait days just to get your own money back from the pump. Current is a real bank account, not a prepaid card. So it works with Apple Pay, Google Pay, Cash App, Venmo, all that stuff. You can even instantly send money for free using your Current tag. Current notifies you when you spend and lets you pause your card instantly in the app. Even if you're under 18, you can still get an account with Current. It only takes 2 minutes to sign up, and your Current card will be shipped to you for free. Download Current now. Get a Current Black Premium card when you go to current.com and enter the promo code BOM. That's B-O-M. Promo code BOM, B-O-M, at current.com.
Diego calls it the Gato Fantasma, the ghost cat.
The ghost cat, the white devil, the villagers called him and used to give him human sacrifices in order to protect the village. And at this moment, Cage is smoking the fuck out of his cigar. That man knows how to smoke a cigar.
By the way, you know who keeps a ghost cat as a pet, right? Ghost Dad.
Was that a joke? Yes. Is that a real?
Ghost Dad.
The Cosby Show? The Cosby movie?
Yes. Ghost Cat.
What is happening right now? All right.
I'm tired, guys.
The white jaguar is apparently worth $1 million and not a man eater, according to Nick Cage. What she is a house on Pine Lake. That's what she is to him. He offers the driver more money. The driver gives back the money he already gave him. A little girl calls out his bird and he says, "That's not my bird." The parrot is on the truck eating part of Cage's food, to which he walks up to the bird and says, "Are you kidding me, man?"
He shoos it away and then throws away the food.
Well, yeah, a nasty ass bird was just eating it.
Then why did you shoo it away? You might as well let it eat the food.
Out of anger? I don't know. Cage says for Diego to stay, but gives him 100 and says to...
Why don't you buy your kids some damn shoes?
Diego says he has a friend in Santana and he'll meet Cage at the dock to recover the truck. Cage then says the map looks like Long Beach to him. Diego says, "You're in danger, Senor Frank." And Cage drives off. We get the opening credits. That was all like cold open. Parrot's flying alongside the truck as he drives through the rainforest. At one point, Cage checks the rearview mirror. I don't know if you noticed that, but there's nothing but cages covered in drapes behind it. What did he look at?
Making sure that the cages didn't fall off, Zach.
I guess, but at this point, I did write, because he really is selling that he's driving. I write that we may be in the neighborhood of he's acting his ass off. So Maze, I'll keep you updated on. Montage of a cargo ship being loaded up at the dock. Workers are loading the animal cages onto the boats. Cage says he can't go to Puerto Rico because if he loses a day, he loses his trucks in Mexico. And the captain, the guy in charge, says he can use the radio to make other plans. And Cage asks, what if he can't make other plans? And he says, you're looking at a lawsuit, Leo. You're looking at a big, fat lawsuit. And that's when the Jaguar acts out in the cage, but it's covered, so we don't really see it. And he says, take it easy with my cat. Tells a kid on the dock that the white jag is 350 to 400 pounds. And then he tells the kid that she doesn't like people. And the kid says, just like you, Frank. I don't like this kid.
Is that Rafi?
Rafi is the worst actor.
That kid sucks, dude.
It sucks.
Yo, he's so bad. He doesn't emote at all in the whole movie.
Not at all. Not while his dad is dying.
Dying.
Spoiler alert. Black van rolls up and a bunch of special ops guys get out. Michael Imperioli and Famke Janssen get out as well. And let me tell you guys, in that outfit, Famke is bringing it.
Okay, because I thought she looked CGI'd, but it turns out her plastic surgery is just very bad.
When she's not wearing the glasses, that's when like the fillers really come through.
Also, Zach, is it a woman in uniform that you're turned on by? I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
I did not have the same reaction.
All right. I think she still got it. Well, sort of.
To be honest, I was never like smitten.
I like her in like Rounders. There's a movie called Love and Sex with Jon Favreau. I really like her in.
I bet you do.
A car rolls up with Kevin Durand in chains. Durand is breaking down LaMonica Garrett's accent and where he's from and where he's lived. He hits on Famke and all the whole time Cage is walking. And my note is Kevin Durand has some big ass face cheeks.
He comes up in a motorcade. There's like three or four cars that pull up out of a hangar. Right. So I don't know if the cars were in the hangar or they just took a shortcut through the hangar. But I just thought that was weird that multiple cars would come out of a hangar like that. The other thing I thought to myself is, are those Chrysler 300s? Am I supposed to be impressed by these black Chrysler 300s? I'm not impressed by Chrysler 300s. I mean, you might as well rolled up in Corollas at that point. No? Okay. All right. I was the only one that noticed the make of the car. Got you.
I did not notice the make of the car.
I did immediately because it's a Chrysler 300. It's such a fraudulent looking car. It can never be not noticed, which is kind of embarrassing to people who own Chrysler 300s. Apologies if you're listening to this and you own a Chrysler 300. Loeffler walks off, hits on everybody, and then makes eye contact with Nick Cage. And I wrote, holy shit, Nick Cage off. Because they literally do the same thing. They're playing the same person. Nick Cage is playing Nick Cage, and Kevin Durant is playing a Nick Cage substitute. And he's like, I'll see you on the shuffle deck, on the main deck of the shuffleboard tournament. Okay, like it's going back and forth. And I'm like, oh my God, This is going to be great. I was actually excited at this point.
They have the same like energy on screen for sure.
Eyes wide open and like, yeah. And weird cuss words where it shouldn't be, and kind of a creepy smile. I mean, it is uncanny.
I don't know if Nick Cage has a creepy smile. He's just a gentleman.
I love when he talks to Ringer and he says, he asks him a question, Ringer responds, and he says, you came from back east, moved out west. I'm really good with accents. It's like, what? He said one word.
Oh, they're showing you he's a genius. They're showing you he knows his way around the world. They put Durand in a cage in the ship, and Michael Imperioli tells him he's a U.S. attorney, and he's under arrest for the murder of some undersecretary and crimes against humanity, and he names like eight places. We find out Famke is a neurologist in the U.S. Navy. And the ship is off. The ship has left the dock.
She announces in front of Loeffler in the cage, in front of everybody, if he has a seizure or exhibits any signs, make sure to call me on the radio. I'm like, why would you say that in front of him? You can tell that to the staff afterward, or they should have been briefed before. Why would you announce it in front of them?
I don't know. Exposition?
Basil?
Now they're at a scene with the kitchen. Someone in line to get food tries to steal bread and get more food, and the cook catches him, and LaMonica observes it all.
He didn't try to steal the bread. The poor cook said, do you want bread? Pan? And like, do you want pan? And like, get a pan, right? If you go to any restaurant in Miami, And you sit down, and the first thing I'm like, get a bun? I'm like, yes, give me the bun. So he asked him, do you want bread? And the dude just basically didn't pay attention. And then he tried to reach and grab the bread. Instead of just saying, even if he didn't understand what the dude asked him, he could have said, hey, buddy, let me get some bread. And or, hey, buddy, that, point to it. But instead, he tries to reach across in a place where he shouldn't reach. So, yeah, he's at fault.
Wow. Duran asked for a Coke jokingly with crushed ice earlier. He doesn't get his Coke, and he starts acting crazy towards the guards. He might be acting his ass off in this movie. We might be left assless in this movie by the end of it. I'll just warn you of that. In the dining hall, Famke asks Cage if he gets animals for zoos. He says he gets them for himself and then sells them to zoos. Cage wants to know who the criminal is. Imperioli says it's classified.
Well, perhaps you should classify this. All right.
And he gives them a middle finger. They're on a ship and they have a right to know. Turns out that Duran was the lead assassin for something called the Sword of God, which is a terrorist group in Peru. The NSA made him a counterterrorist. He escaped. They tracked him. The military is making sure he's kept alive. A black jaguar for a zoo would get Cage 75K, but he found the white one, and no one's ever seen that before.
Jerome, the black guy, who, by the way, survives a lot longer than I thought he would in this movie. I was like, oh, you're definitely, because he barely speaks.
And so yeah, I'm like, oh, he barely speaks. Definitely. There's no emotional connection. Like, he's completely expendable.
But when he does speak, his accent is so bad.
Is he supposed to be Jamaican?
Yes, he's supposed to be Jamaican. Jerome works with this dude named Scuddy. Scuddy, at some point right before this galley scene, tells Jerome, make sure the blah, blah, blahs are clean and full throttle, Jerome. Let's get out of here. And I said, oh, my God, we have our golden dumpster winner. This dude is the worst, worse than Rafi. He is the worst actor in the movie.
Those two are the worst actors in the movie, even worse than Rafi. Jerome and the other guy.
Scuddy.
Yeah.
Finally, when Chrissy from Sopranos is explaining all this stuff to Nicolas Cage, at the end he says, I just spent 10 months in the jungle and this all smells like cat shit to me. And I didn't know if that was a good thing or was that like a literal thing because he might just smell cat shit at this point. I didn't understand that.
He's a tracker. So if he smells cat shit, that's good, right? He's onto something.
I was a little thrown off.
Cage is now feeding all these animals. He's chopping up food. He's chopping up veggies. He gives bananas to monkeys, which I thought was, well, obvious.
What did you want him to feed?
I don't know, but just like, salad or something.
Avocado toast?
Yeah. I like this guy's like Ron McGill or something, like some great lover of animals. He's a poacher.
All right, Cage is teaching Rafi about the animals. Kid says that using darts is cheating, to which he says, hey, it's not how you play the game. It's whether you win or not win.
I said, shut the fuck up, kid. Like, who the fuck are you to critique?
I've been like, you little fuck, I caught a jaguar.
Who's catching these wild ass animals without the use of tranquilizers?
Right, yeah. I'll wait. Steve Irwin? How'd that work out? Rest in peace.
Yeah. Too soon.
All right. Cage's parrot is not in the cage, and the kid wants to know why. He tells the story of feeding the parrot, and now it won't go away.
What's a cat say?
Meow.
What time is it?
I don't know.
What do you think of this? He doesn't like guns.
He's smart.
Yeah. The regular Einstein.
It sounds like Elmo, by the way.
It does sound like Elmo.
The kid is looking at the monkeys. Says, he's smiling at me. Cage says, that's not a he, and she's not smiling.
There's a part where the kid remarks that Nicolas Cage doesn't like anybody, and then he asks, do you like me? And I wrote, I can feel the tension.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, I mean.
It starts like, I'm telling you.
It's not.
All throughout the movie, it's pretty awkward. Maze knows what I'm talking about. You felt this before.
Cage is now drinking with two guys on the ship and says he's the king of Long Beach. When Cage is smoking a cigar and he's drinking, he's talking shit. He's just on the verge of acting his ass off. This is his wheelhouse.
You know who's not on the verge of acting his ass off?
Who?
When Cage says his old man wanted to be a mechanic, and when he was a mechanic, he was like, yeah, friction or whatever. Scuddy says, you can tell him to kiss your ass, Walsh. He's so bad.
Cage is walking back to his room. He sees Famke Janssen. He says, "Eh, what's up, Doc?" Sick reference. He drunkenly says that he worked at the San Diego Zoo with white pandas. Wants to know who her father is. She tells him he's an admiral.
10 years and 8 zoos later, I started hunting and it became my own boss.
Drunk Cage killed it, though, man.
He's so shit-faced in this scene.
Oh, man. I think he was really drunk. They're 3/4 of the way to Puerto Rico now. Durand is eating. The guards are talking about Famke being fine. LaMonica is arguing with the ship's captain about when they get to San Juan because he wants precision. Durand starts faking a seizure. Or maybe he's having a real seizure.
Why are the guards eating right in front of them? Like, clearly they got up to go get the food from the galley. Why didn't they just eat it there? Why didn't they take turns? I'll go eat and come back, then it'll be your turn. They're eating right in front of them. Also, one of the guards is named, and I should you not, Pretty Man. That's his name. Not Pretty Man, like, frightened inmate number two. His name is, like, James Pretty Man or something like that.
LaMonica Pretty Man?
LaMonica Pretty Man.
Dr. Ellen literally tells the guards, get in the cage.
Get in the cage, I know.
How?
Get in the cage. As Famke is radioed, guard goes into the cage. Durand starts biting down on his fingers. The other guard comes in, tries to hit him with the butt of the gun. But Durand catches it, fires a shot through his head. That was a great shot. I like that. I thought it was a clever little action moment.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to figure out how he fired the gun from the butt, but other than that, yeah, it was pretty tight.
Well, he grabbed the butt and he moved his hand up and pulled the trigger. Yeah, see, a gun's got a trigger. He shot right through, yeah. When Famke and the rest of the team get in the room, Durand and the other guard are gone. They walk through, they find blood on a door. The other guard is dead behind the door, and it looked like his eyes were gouged out. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yes.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out, too. I have no idea why he went after the eyes. I thought maybe he removed them or ate them or something, but no.
Never explains it. Captain and the cage are walking around. They find someone with a slit throat. The radio for the ship has been dismantled. Orders have been given on getting people safe and then searching the ship for Durand. But Cage says he won't go anywhere until he feeds his animals because they haven't eaten in 12 hours. LaMonica threatens to arrest him if he doesn't follow orders, and he complies. LaMonica briefs everybody on the ship in one room as the cook goes to get food. Entire time, LaMonica is describing the threat here. Cage is just pacing back and forth on like 6 feet of ground.
So aggressively. Everyone's standing still.
And he is pacing like also, he is at the end of a bender.
Well, I mean.
Is he still shit-faced? How long has it been?
A great question.
LaMonica cusses a lot for no reason. Open the goddamn door. I'm like, dude, you just knocked for the first time. You told us not to open, stay on lockdown. Why would we?
Stable. He's got a real attitude problem. Monica finishes. Cage says he needs to repeat the whole speech in Spanish. He says the search won't take long because there aren't places to hide. And Cage says, who says he's going to hide? Chills. Yeah, so a soldier takes the cook to the kitchen. The cook pushes through and locks the soldier out of the kitchen, then turns around and he sees monkeys in the kitchen eating bananas. Again, just a little on the nose. Find them like cooking a soup or something.
Perhaps a nice quiche.
Cage believes that they didn't get out, but that Durand let them out. He goes to wrangle them. The cook tries to kill the monkeys.
Overreaction?
It's an overreaction. Also, like, you're probably getting a B from the health department at that point, right? You're not getting an A.
International waters.
Oh, that's true. International waters. That's a good point. Cage radios not to touch the babies. And that's when the cook sees a baby and grabs it. And now the monkeys are pissed. They attack him. They fuck him up.
They fucking kill his shit out of him.
All the soldiers are trying to break in to rescue him. Cage slips away.
I'm not here to say that, like, fighting off monkeys is easy or that is pain-free. But I feel like at some point you could have punched one of the monkeys. Just, like, cocked back.
Could have spanked one.
Connection's fine, just letting that one breathe a little bit.
Cage has a great line where he says, I don't take orders, not since the army.
That's when LaMonica and Cage are disagreeing about taking orders, and Durand's listening in on the radio. Durant starts talking to Cage over the radio as everyone listens. Cage was a mechanic in, I don't know, the army or something. Durant talks about being trained to kill. Durant then asks him if he's still up for shuffleboard because he'd like to buddy up with him. He says, maybe later, asshole.
Yeah, which wasn't a no, by the way.
It's not a no. Yeah, it's I'm up for it. Let's just see where the day takes us. They need to take someone to the engine room to keep the ship moving. Durant takes out a soldier.
Because Scotty said, goddamn engines, goddamn middle of the goddamn ocean. The most goddams in any sentence I've ever heard in my goddamn life.
Oh, you know what I just thought of? His name is Scotty, which sounds a lot like Scotty, like Star Trek engine room Scotty.
Yes. The first, absolutely. The first time they said his name, they said Mr. Scotty. And I was like, oh, come on, guys.
Cage goes to where his animals are, and everything has been let out, including the snakes. And he knows it because the snakes were in bags, so they didn't just sneak out. Famke says that he was irresponsible for put their lives at risk with these venomous snakes. Luckily, Cage put a tracker on the Jaguar, and it works. Walsh out.
I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking boat.
Cage walks around trying to secure animals. He walks into a hallway, and behind him, the Jaguar emerges. The slow turn and the rays of the Trank gun. Chills. It's a great shot.
One S too many.
I hate Jaguar Vision so much.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love Jaguar Vision.
Do they even look like that? Like, is that how they see the world? Or was that just like creative license?
No, that's no.
It's the only white Jaguar out there, so that's how it sees.
Did you ever play Tiger Woods golf and you had to like focus in on the putt?
Tiger Vision
looks just like that. So yeah, I think they got it right. Fucking Brian Fellows over here knows everything.
He loves animals and they love him back. Interspecies friends, we ain't kidding, Mac. Brian Fellows, Safari Planet. Brian Fellows, Safari Planet.
Brian Fellow is not an accredited zoologist, nor does he hold an advanced degree in any of the environmental sciences. He is simply an enthusiastic young man with a sixth grade education and an abiding love for all God's creatures. Share his love tonight on
Brian Fellows, Brian Fellows, Brian Fellows, Safari Planet.
Goat's got devil eyes.
Go, just go on.
Jaguar runs away. Cage loses him in one hallway. It just goes to a different area. He radios LaMonica, says the Jaguar is there, but there's no water on the ship. He says, you sure? I know how a fucking faucet works, you federal clown. A lot of anger.
So good. The federal shit.
The captain and Imperioli are going to the engine room to fix the water pump. The kid stays with Famke. Durant goes to the engine room pretending to be one of the good soldiers. Scotty tells him that he served, and he and Jerome handle the engines. And as the rest of the soldiers get to the engine room, Durant sneaks away. They chase after him, but he got away, just like the Jaguar, down a single hallway. The water tanks, the pumps have been dismantled. The tanks have been emptied. Snake strikes the captain, and LaMonica shoots the fuck out of that snake. Really made sure it was gone. Two soldiers are looking around the cargo, and the Jaguar attacks one of them before getting away. The other soldier shoots at it, and Cage hears a gunfire. They bring the captain back to the safe room. LaMonica says he's not taking Durant alive. Cage admonishes them.
You take this sick motherfucker, give him the best military training money can buy, turn him loose on the general population. You think he could just yank his leash and bring him back? Our tax dollars at work, you federal retard.
This is continuing a long trend now on this podcast.
Yeah, well, that's what I wrote. R-word. That's what I wrote. I wrote some of the old movies were used to hearing that, but this movie came out last year.
Yeah.
In September. And Amin, this was the first time I yelled out loud when he said federal retards.
Oh, man.
Imperioli says that he was in the National Guard. So LaMonica asks if he can shoot and kill someone, line him up in the sights, and pull the trigger. Imperioli looks completely overwhelmed and unsure, and he just gets handed an assault rifle before answering.
The captain, Morales, has been bitten by a snake. He's like in shock and everything. His son the whole time, Rafi, is just like cool as a cucumber, man. It's like his dad came in to take a nap. I think he's really worried about like Nick Cage.
Has he noticed
I've done something different with my hair?
LaMonica says the same goes for the cat. It dies if they get the chance, to which Cage says, "You kill my cat, I'll blow your head off." Famke and Cage are looking for IV fluids. Cage gets distracted by monkeys, and Famke wants him to be a good man and try to help the captain. Says, what? Let's get something straight. If there is a good man out there, it's not me, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Kind of felt like he stole a line from Amin there. Like Amin said that a few times.
A couple of ladies have heard that one. Also, she's like strangely very emotionally invested in him.
Yeah.
I'm not understanding why.
They had zero chemistry.
Yeah, why is she taking all of this so personally?
Maybe she's not a good actress.
Definitely not anymore.
Cage is shooting blow darts at the monkeys and taking them down. Duran shoots a soldier and the guy on the bridge navigating the ship.
Yeah, the dude in the bridge is leaning forward into the window and he just gets capped right in the head.
Got to, yeah.
The other guy just like sits there, watches it happen, and doesn't think at one point, like, gunshots, I should duck.
He charts a new course on a map, then breaks the equipment. After changing the course, the ship is turning around. Cage gives water to the parrot, and the parrot says, stick him up. He says, it's holstered, Einstein. You want a drink or not? But that means that there's been a gun around, guys. I don't know if you remember that little callback. Cage sneaks up on Duran through the door, kicks away the gun as Duran is looking over the map. Time for shuffleboard, Frank. Great callback. A lot of callbacks in this scene. Cage then says he has a real nice cage for Duran. I got a real nice cage for you. you think Raffi was hoping he'd say that to him?
See, now there's your sexual attention to me.
Yeah, this whole time I thought Duran and Cage were gonna fuck.
Really?
Didn't pick
up that vibe at all. Because I couldn't tell them apart.
That might have been what it is. Well, yeah, if they have sex, is it just masturbation?
Way to be crass.
Mack Weldon will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants, and more that you will ever wear. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor. They want you to be comfortable, so if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep it, and they will still refund you, no questions asked. Not only does Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well, too. It's good for working out, going to work, going out on dates, just everyday life. Mack Weldon really does value its loyal customers. That's why they've created the Weldon Blue Loyalty Program. Here's how it works. Create an account. It's totally free. Level 1, place an order for any amount and never pay for shipping again. Level 2, once you purchase $200 worth of products from Mack Weldon, not only will you continue to receive free shipping, but you will also start saving 20% on every order you make for the next year. Level 2 also grants you access to new products before they're released to anyone else, as well as free gifts added to future orders. I have some Mack Weldon socks, Mack Weldon underwear, and I'm wearing my Mack Weldon sweatpants right now. It's fantastic. I wear it all the time. It's a quarantine. You never leave the house. You gotta have Mack Weldon sweats. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code DING. That's promo code DING, D-I-N-G. I think we skipped this line from Scuddy. I've been at sea for 60 years, you goddamn shit for brains moron. That's how I know we changed course.
Yeah.
I feel like his motivation was just, hey, you're playing a sailor. Sailors swear.
God damn it.
Duran is just obeying him, walking with him. That's when Raffi walks in.
What the fuck?
And this kid cannot read the fucking room, man.
Raffi, what are you doing, dude?
My dad.
Also, it's Mr. Walsh, you little fuck.
Right, exactly. Show some respect.
But again,
not a fucking like, white jaguar.
Sometimes the heart wants what the heart wants.
Oh my god. I still have not picked up like, on that. Oh, I wasn't no it's not like on, I come to kept, bed, Frank.
He kept saying Frank. Like, come on, you've never had that? They just keep saying your name, like, damn it. All right, I'll do it. I'll take out the trash or whatever it is. I'll go to this baby shower with you. I'll have dinner with your parents. Fine.
Duran kicks the gun out of Cage's hand and it goes near the kid. That's when Cage pulls the dart gun out and the jaguar walks in. Oh, fuck, guys. And this dumb fuck kid says, Frank, I'm scared. Frank, it's his fault.
That was the actual emotional affect he used, too. Frank, I'm scared.
Duran knows the gun only has one dart loaded, says to shoot the cat. He shoots Duran with the dart, then tackles the kid as the jaguar goes flying over him.
Great reflexes.
Gage then grabs the real gun, shoots it in the air of an enclosed metal room, not worrying about a ricochet anywhere, and the Jaguar runs out the door.
Question, why did he feel so compelled to not shoot Duran? At any point in this movie, he has ample opportunity, and he doesn't take orders, so why does he care that the dude is alive?
They have a connection, because they both hate the army or whatever, and they're the same person.
I'm not going to kill myself. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Gage finds a dart with a lot of tranquilizer left in it. No Duran. The kid sucks. This kid's just awful.
Get this kid the fuck out of here, man.
LaMonica shoots the only other life raft, deflating it, says nobody's leaving the ship. They're going to turn the boat back around towards Puerto Rico.
Doesn't make any sense.
Then Duran kills the soldier and kills LaMonica. Thank God he's out of there.
He quadruple taps LaMonica.
He unloaded, man. He unloaded. This dumb kid tells Famke they're inflatable rafts in a room. She asks Cage if he'll help her get off the ship or not. And he says the white jag comes along once in a lifetime. And we find out that Cage smuggles these animals. He doesn't have paperwork for them.
I thought that was very obvious for the entire movie.
I never once thought this was official.
He's a first class prick.
Famke's telling him what a piece of shit he is. And he says, I make your heart beat.
Yeah.
She calls him delusional. He might not be wrong. You know?
Because why is she so worked up over him? Over his morality. Not like, hey, are we going to survive this? About his morality. And my father told me to watch out for men like him. Like, what? You're a lieutenant in the goddamn Navy. Act like it.
Cage and Jerome look for the inflatable rafts. Duran corners Cage in one of the rooms, asks for the navigation chart, then butts Cage in the stomach with the gun. Cage is clearly doing his own stunts in this fight scene. And guys.
Oh, my God.
Guys, hold on. He's stunting his ass off. I'll tell you that.
He's reacting to punches and kicks before they happen. It's a future callback.
Oh, man.
Stunting like his daddy.
Like, next. He's also like the slowest puncher I've ever seen at this point. He used to be able to throw a punch. No longer. Duran kicks his ass as Cage notices where the life raft is. Imperioli and a soldier sneak up on Duran, who's dragging Cage through a hallway. As the soldier's about to shoot Duran in the back of the head, Imperioli pulls out a knife and takes out the soldier.
This is the single most confusing plot point in this movie.
I mean, I wrote that it's the exact opposite of the Bolo intimidation effect.
Yes.
When you kill your own man, but it doesn't make any sense.
I'm just looking at him like, what are you, a moron? He wants this guy alive so bad he's willing to kill for it and risk all the other lives that this dude is going to kill on the boat. And at first I thought to myself, maybe this is like a mob hit, right? Or maybe he's actually...
Oh, that's typecasting.
Why would someone act clearly in the opposite interest of law enforcement, right? Oh, I thought maybe he might be collaborating with Durant. But no, neither of those things. And spoiler alert, they never explain it.
They try at one point, and I'm still not sure what they meant.
He just went rogue on that one.
My next note, and I don't remember why, but my next note is Scuddy and Jerome are the two of the worst actors I've ever seen. Oh.
So this is where Scuddy says, I got an idea, gets up, turns off all the power on the ship. Like, he's like, oh, I know how to get the Coast Guard. Turns off all the power on the ship. I'm like, is there like an automatic flare or distress signal that comes out? Like, nope. They just turned the power off. Duran comes downstairs trying to see what's going on. Scuddy like talks a lot of shit. And then Jerome jumps from a catwalk above and tries to attack this known assassin. Oh,
that's what wrench.
And meanwhile, while Scuddy just yells out, come on, Jerome, fuck him.
Fuck him up, Jerome.
And I wrote, this is clearly a Scuddy plan because of that line.
That's right. This is one of the worst fight scenes I've ever seen. Like, just one of the worst.
It's exactly how the fight scene would have gone in real life if there was a CIA-trained assassin on a boat who was being attacked by a Jamaican, like, engineer assistant on a ship.
A Jamaican engineer taking off from the fucking top rope.
Who's executing a plan thought of some drunk asshole.
He came dropping in from the ceiling.
Come on, Jerome.
He's goddamn Spider-Man.
This is not your kid's Little League game. We just say, come on, and that'll make him play better.
Now Cage is in a cage. Duran wants a navigation chart. He's choking him with the roughest, toughest, coarsest rope he has in his rope inventory. He says he'll kill him, and Cage says that he can't kill him. Duran then threatens the birds and starts shooting the birds and just picks off three of them. I laughed out loud at this point.
Not my birds! No, not the my birds, no!
Not the birds! Cage gives up the chart. Perioli walks where Cage is caged. He unties Cage. Young Cage is Cage. Duran then finds a navigation chart. They tell the kid they have to go and leave his dad behind. This kid could not give a fuck that his dad's dying.
Yeah, no.
Just he's doesn't just care.
Catatonic.
Right. Cage wants the rifle. They grab the life raft. Duran then storms them as they're getting the lifeboat set up outside.
Why is he running like that? You see how he runs? I wish the cinephone were more of a video component because him running, I was like, what the fuck is going on? He's holding the rifle in firing position, but above his shoulders, like almost above his head. And he's running like in a zigzag pattern on the top of the ship, which it's is
serpentine.
Serpentine run, land of the lost. And by the way, mind you, the top of the ship is completely empty. Like it's like looking across a football field. But somehow this group of people who feature at least four, everyone except the kid is ex-military. None of them. This dude running.
Cage says, run, Rafi. Rafi doesn't move an inch.
No, Rafi doesn't move an inch because that would have caused, that would have been some kind of reaction.
Rafi doesn't move an inch. And old girl, who again is a lieutenant in the Navy, goes, and drops the rifle and runs like a little girl. Like, I'm like, what?
Yeah, they should have made her a Navy officer, right? Like, they should have just made her a neurologist. Yeah.
If you don't make her like a super feminine stereotype, like, I'm afraid and I lose my cool and under pressure. Like, look, I'm not saying any of these stereotypes are correct or accurate or good in filmmaking, but if you're going to go down that route, why would you make her? Yeah, like, why would you make her in the military?
That makes more sense than someone who's afraid of a gun who's in the military. A decorated military officer.
Lieutenant, she was like a private.
Right. They lose the gun because she drops it. Duran grabs the stupid kid. Cage tries to negotiate for the stupid kid. Imperioli runs out, shoots the life raft, gets shot. Duran has one gun out of bullets. I don't know. I don't know. Cage wants to use Famke as bait for Duran. Make noise, draw him out. She has to trust that Cage will be there at the right time. She wants to know he's a good man. He says, no, I'm no good, but I can help. Low-key acting his ass off when he drops his voice a couple of volumes, you know, awesome. A couple of decibels.
Once again, the line that Amin has said to the ladies before.
Have you also said, I'm going hunting?
Not to the ladies. That would defeat the purpose there, Maze.
Duran is calling the Ghost Guard, trying to get saved. He gets them to have a chopper in 1 hour with food and water.
His plan, by the way? What was his?
Yeah, is his plan to kill everybody on the helicopter and take the helicopter and the food somewhere?
I think so, because he's an assassin, so he can probably fly a helicopter. But I had this line. Come on. Cage is hunting a jaguar. Duran's hunting a cougar.
Attaboy. Also, they're 400 miles away from Puerto Rico.
400 nautical miles.
Nautical miles. I don't know how that translates to regular miles, nor do I know why nautical miles are different. Why do we need nautical miles? Why can't they just use the regular miles that everybody else uses?
It's on the ship.
A nautical mile is a length equal to 1 minute of arc around the sphere of Earth.
The fuck does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know about that.
This is where you get into longitude and latitude bullshit, which I do not believe in.
16 minutes, 32 seconds, da-da-da. Okay, so you're 400 miles away from Puerto Rico. You're in open water. The only reason why this helicopter is making it out there is because it came from a ship itself. So if he gets in a helicopter, where the hell is he? Like, I don't think you can get to Puerto Rico on a full tank of gas, basically.
He's a trained assassin.
So what, he kills everyone on the Coast Guard ship too?
Probably. They're not ready for him.
Okay. All right.
You see what happened to Jerome?
Poor Jerome. Jerome's the only guy who wasn't ex-military in the whole movie other than Rafi.
Right. A monkey in the kitchen scares Famke. I yelled out loud at that point. It startled me. Duran tracks her down. He wants to know where Cage is. She says, right behind you, motherfucker. He comes out with a bow and arrow.
Yeah. Huge bow.
Huge fucking bow.
Haven't seen that bow yet in this movie, by the way.
No, not once. Like goddamn Robin Hood.
At first when he was holding it, I thought it was the grill off of a car or something.
Reed. What the fuck?
Ease back on the string.
Loeffler puts the gun down first.
You can't do that, Frank.
You shooting, I'll kill her.
Shoot him!
He's back, Wass. Do it now.
Fuck you, Freed. You move. Loeffler's dead.
Yeah. And then he'll kill you and he'll kill Ellen. And then he'll cover up all his tracks. He's NSA, Frank.
Put the bow down.
He had me fooled too, Frank. Until I saw him kill Forrest. The NSA is in bed with some pretty bad people, Frank.
He's lying. He'll be arrested when he gets home.
He said he was already arrested.
He is. He'll be convicted of treason and murder and punished to the full extent of the law.
Yeah, they'll deprogram me and then they'll kill me.
He belongs to the United States government.
Not anymore. I went to South America to assassinate people for the NSA. And I ended up moonlighting for the president of Peru and the drug cartels.
He's lying.
I got deep intel on all of them, Frank. I could tie them all together.
Famke pushes the gun away. Cage fires the arrow into the shoulder of Durand, and Imperioli starts firing. Durand takes down Imperioli, which makes me think that Imperioli is just the worst with a gun. The worst.
If he's telling the truth, that he was really an NSA and he had all his clandestine operations, that would increase the motivation for Imperioli to want him dead, right?
Yes.
They're not going to risk him getting away and, like, revealing all their secrets.
Right.
Again, the idea that he wants him alive just didn't make sense.
Isn't Imperioli supposed to be a handler that's going to reprogram Loeffler, kind of like Bourne Identity or something like that? That's what I thought was happening.
I did not catch any of that from this movie, but even so, at some point you got to say, I have to torch it. Like, everyone on the ship is going to die because eventually I'm going to be the one who's going to subdue him and, like, reprogram him. Come on, man. At some point you got to know, like, this thing is burnt. When this happened, why doesn't she escape? She literally just sits there on the steps.
That's a great question. Yeah. Cause I thought she was running away and then all of a sudden she's just standing at the bottom of the steps.
She's like 3 feet cowering. She's cowering.
A lieutenant in the Navy.
Whose dad was in the Navy, was an admiral.
She offers the assassin medical assistance.
So he gets Famke to pull the arrow all the way through his shoulder. Cage goes back to the animal holding area to get the darts. He's been shot in the leg. The jaguar walks in, but he traps in like this metal locker area. Durand radios and tells him to come to the engine room. He says, I got a better idea. You come here and I'll kick your fucking ass. It's a good line. I got chills there. Durand goes to get Cage, but unbags the snake near Famke and this idiot kid.
I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking boat.
Cage then hits Durand with a dart and another one, and now we've got a knife fight. Like the music video bad.
Big time in on the knife fight.
Yeah.
Good old-fashioned knife fight.
Yeah.
Good old-fashioned.
Cage is grunting like Maria Sharapova in this scene.
By the way, when he's doing the blow darts, every time dude gets hit, he then fires back. And I wrote, not very technical firing. He's just like, just letting it loose. I'm like, dude, you're supposed to be an assassin.
Yeah.
Like, I would think you have a little bit more, like, attention to detail than just letting it rain like my man in Tropic Thunder.
Tug Speedman.
Yeah, Tug Speedman, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when he's, like, doing the... He's like basically Joe from Arrested Development on stage of a magic show, but with a machine gun.
Yeah.
They cut each other. Durand stabs a barrel. Cage bites his arm, but the tranquilizer starts to kick in, and Cage tells him, you can hit harder than that, pussy. Cage then traps him with a rope, stringing him up by his ankles. Whoa. Cage says,
oh, no.
What?
Oh, you missed. Oh, come on, Zach. You skipped over, like, the signature line of the movie. Right now, like, the tranquilizer is going to take a hold, and he says, I can't seem to feel my legs. And Cage says, I can't seem to give a shit.
That's the line of the movie?
That's the line of the movie, dude.
Not fuck him up, Jerome.
Get him, Jerome. Come on, Jerome.
He's struggled by his ankles. Cage says he can't move, but he'll still be conscious, which is important because he's about to enjoy dinner with a friend of his. He lets the jaguar out, walks out the door, says it isn't business. It's personal. That's a better line.
Well, no, that's only because it's a callback to something that Durand said earlier where he says they want you to be business, but it's not business. How can this be business, right? Like, you get such a thrill from killing people, I guess.
Still a better line. Jaguar murders him. Now the slowest snake ever is still inching towards Famke. Cage traps it and bags it. Somehow the captain's still alive. Hours after this venom.
The venom that he said, even if we had an anti-venom, there's a 20% chance he'd live. He said that earlier in the movie.
You know what kept him alive? It was Rafi's love.
Relax, I mean.
Well, no, it's his dad.
Oh, okay, so it's fine, yeah.
That would be preposterous. By the way, I take umbrage with you saying that the Jaguar murdered him. Yeah, I didn't murder him. Killed him. Murder means like it was like conspired. Like you could take it to court over this.
Well, you think the Jaguar just happened to murder him? You think that's cat slaughter?
He's a man eater. Cage was lying the whole time.
Yeah, for real. Full of shit. Like this thing, seems like this thing has a pretty good taste for human flesh.
Yeah. Kid goes with him. Cage and Famke are left on the boat as another rescue boat arrives. Coast Guard says dental records are the only way to identify Durand. Hell of a cat you've got there. And he says, she's a real man eater. And I wrote, I swear to God, if they play man eater at the end of this fucking movie.
They couldn't afford that shit.
Travolta would have had them play it.
Travolta would have had it for sure. Coast Guard says it needs the paperwork on his animals. And he starts stammering. Then Famke says that Durand destroyed it all. That takes care of that.
Jaguar ate my homework.
Gives her business card. Says about, being where she is or something. He says he's going to take the Jaguar to Kenya for no money. Parrot flies to Cage. My last note is I think Cage did this whole movie for cigars and to hang out with that parrot.
The last lines in this movie. So she says, if you're ever in Adelphi, look me up, right? And he says, there's a zoo in Adelphi. The parrot comes over. You want to live in Adelphi, Einstein? I know. Yes, it is. The end. What?
Yeah, I was confused by that. Yeah. And also, I was trying to figure out whether that was like a setup for a sequel.
It's just a shitty romantic comedy. We Bought a Zoo with Nicolas Cage and Famke Janssen.
I would watch that so much. Are you kidding me?
Are there any movies with Nicolas Cage and John Travolta in it other than Face Off?
No, that's it. We are due. If Mark Wahlberg can get a fucking sequel to that movie, we can get Travolta and Cage in a movie. A little bit of trivia here. Dan Grodnick, I don't know who that is, but it's in the trivia section. First optioned the script for Primal in 1995. It took 22 years to finally get made.
It would have been perfect for 1995. That would have made $100 million in 1995.
Oh, yeah, in like 95, Nick Cage? Are you kidding me? The script was originally entitled Persona Non Grata, but Lionsgate decided that the title would be too difficult to market, so they renamed it Primal. Just want to remind you, it made $84,000.
Why would it be called Persona Non Grata?
I don't know. I don't know. Frank tells Raffi that only tigers and polar bears will hunt and kill men. Leopards and hyenas will also hunt men. And as a big game hunter, Frank should have known this.
Yeah.
They really kind of shit on him. And then jaguars have incredibly acute senses of smell. It is very unlikely that an experienced hunter like Frank Walsh would smoke a cigar while waiting in a blind for one to appear. We don't have a Tony medley. We don't have a lot of trivia for this. But I did, since I own it, I did watch the extras, which is just a 9-minute making of the movie Primal. And so some of the hits taken out of that, Famke Janssen said that when she read the script, it's a simple story told in a very catchy way. And that's what she was drawn to it.
She had me at story.
There was a producer that said clearly English was his second language. So he says, at the end of the day, you have Nicolas Cage, one of the action stars for so long that I need to make it work. And I did. Okay. And I hope this guy made his money back from our rentals. I really do. Durand said that he read through it quickly. It's a page turner and that he wanted to be the bad guy in it. He also said that Nick Powell is the best, which made me wonder why the action was so rough in this one. If Nick Powell is so good at action.
Durand is a world-class liar. In other words,
that same producer said, we're doing something good when we can attract this kind of star power and actor. Talking about Nick Cage. And then Famke on Nick Cage said, well, Nicolas Cage, he's been around for so long acting and successfully. I've just watched him over the years in movie after movie. I'm a huge fan. He's an incredible actor. He's hugely talented. I was mostly taken by, and what I really did not expect was how incredibly professional Nick Cage is. He's the first one on set. He never leaves. He knows all his dialogue. He's just your ultimate professional. Very, very impressed by that.
You think Nick Cage is like one of those players, you know, like NBA players that like fans don't really like, but people in the organizations and like, no, oh man, no, this dude's the best.
What's like, not to like? He's fun. He's been named the best actor before. He's been in some of the greatest action movies all time, and he's always entertaining. What are people's problem with him? What is this? We're mad that he didn't pay his taxes properly? What's the issue? What's the problem that people have with Nick Cage? He's one of the greatest actors of all time. You know how I know? They gave him a fucking award for it.
I'll tell you what my problem is. It's called Primal.
And it cost me $5.99 to rent.
One more thing. Durant says about Cage, you always feel like he wants to take the scene somewhere interesting and truthful. You're right. A mania is a liar.
Wait, come on, man.
Golden Dumpster nominees, Kevin Durant, Nick Cage, the kid who plays Rafi, Famke Janssen's plastic surgery, and Sewell Whitney as Scuddy.
It's a combo package, man. Scuddy and Jerome, boy.
Yeah, it's Scuddy and Jerome. That's got to be Jerome. It, man. As much as I hated that fucking kid, like, it's got to be Scuddy and Jerome. They are worse actors than the sexy female hacker in Hurricane Heist. And I thought she was the worst actor I've ever seen.
Jerome's Jamaican accent, like, that might be worth a Golden Dumpster all on its own. But yes, it's a tandem. They come as a
yeah.
As a,
I'm with that. Are you sweeping that one, Maze? What's your Golden Dumpster?
I'll join you guys. I do want to shout out Kevin Durant. I thought he was pretty good in this movie.
Yeah, he and Cage are fantastic in this movie. I was very disappointed in Famke.
It's a cliche character. It's like the Hannibal Lecter thing, right? Like, they put him in the cage and he's quirky and he knows all this shit about people, but I thought he did a good job and he's always like a physically intimidating dude, so it worked for me. But yes, Scuddy and Jerome sweep.
Yeah, they sweep it. All right, file.
The first like 10 minutes of this movie, I wanted to really file it. I was like, okay, this might just be like the sort of dumb action movie I just need. But it kind of dragged once they got on the boat. There were like long bits where it was just like, okay, all right. And it wasn't even as the description is accurate of like a madman killer is on the loose on a boat and he unleashes all these wild animals. I kind of thought, even as I think back, like, yeah, there were moments where people were attacked by animals. I thought it was literally going to be like every time you turn a corner, really getting shot or getting gnawed out or something. It just wasn't enough of that. It's kind of slow, so I'm going to go with Phobe on this one. It could have been filed, like, very much as close to the border as you get.
Maze?
The script and the directing were really, really terrible. Cage did his best with his cheesy-ass lines, and he got to get nice and drunk, and he got some one-liners off, and I like Kevin Durant, but just, it's not good, man. It's not a good plot. It's cheap. No twists, nothing. It's a phobe for me.
I mean, there was a twist that Imperioli is an NSA agent.
I mean, there wasn't really a twist.
He was one of the worst parts of this movie. He was awful.
Well, he's not a good actor. People like him because they like Sopranos, but he's not good.
He's not a good actor, but the character itself didn't make any sense and was terrible.
I mean, right. It's a twist in that I thought he was a U.S. attorney. Turns out he's NSA. That's a twist. I know what everyone thinks I'm going to do here, but I do have some issues with this movie. I could have used a lot more Jaguar. Like, a lot.
Yeah.
Jaguar. I could have used a lot more Jaguar, a lot more of a snakes on a plane element of just like, all right, some of these animals are really fucking up. It was cool the monkeys killed that dude. We had a snake attack and the Jaguar, you know, picked off a couple people, but I could use a lot more of that. So that's disappointing. Obviously, like, Famke Janssen's terrible. Scuddy and Jerome are terrible. Imperioli's terrible. That kid fucking sucks. Durant and Cage are fantastic.
I bet he does.
But action, like, the hand-to-hand combat was comically bad. And for a director who's known for choreographing some great epic fight moments in movie history, that's super disappointing. And everyone thinks I'm going to just like say all this stuff and then jump on and say, but it's file, motherfuckers. And you're right. It's a file, motherfuckers. This movie is entertaining. We get basically two cages. And I love them both. Those guys carried the movie. They're both in cages at various points. I'd watch this movie again. I own it. So I'm going to, apparently. I'm in. This is a file. You guys are crazy. You wouldn't watch this again.
No,
I got it.
Next time we make love, you introduce me to Jade.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz.
and we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.